Parshat Re'eh this week. And Parshat Re'eh, we said a couple years ago, I think, is the first of three parshiot that are devoted to a presentation of the mitzvot. And what I suggested then was that it's really a development from the Aseret HaDibrot. In other words, V'etchanan, we hear the Aseret HaDibrot repeated. And then the rest of Etchanan and Ekev is devoted to the first Dibur, which is about relationship with God and Avodah Zarah, and that Re'eh takes us really through the next two Dibrot, which is Lotisa, and then expands that to the significance of the special place where God dwells, and Shabbat, and special times. And the very famous statement in Chazal in several places, and develops a lot in certain strains of thought, that the Aseret HaDibrot are significant because they contain sort of a captions for all the mitzvot. And it's a very difficult sell because there's whole areas of halakha that aren't even touched there. But what we did see is that the mitzvot that are presented by Moshe in the rest of Sefer Dvarim seem to follow that order. So the rest of Etchanan and Ekev is about the first Dibur, Re'eh is about the next two Dibrot, and Shoftim is essentially an expansion of Kibud Av V'Em and all of the power structure in the society, followed by Lo Tirtzach at the beginning of the laws of war in Shoftim, and then the Re'ez Kitetze takes us all the way to the end. And some of it's a little sketchy, and some of it's straight up, but that's the presentation. I want to take a look at a different component within that structure, which is the ultimate experience which the Torah describes at the end of Re'ez. And it's one of those interesting kriyot that we're very familiar with in Chutz La'aretz in Eretz Yisrael. They don't know very well because it's read once a year on Parshat Re'eh. We read it four times a year, Parshat Re'eh, and on the last day of Pesach, and on the second day of Shavuot, and on Shmini Atzeret. And in Israel, they don't have those readings. But it is the following. The first part of Re'eh presents the special place where Hashem shall choose to put his name, and the fact that you have to bring all your korbanot there, and you can't bring them elsewhere, etc. Then there's other deviations, issues relating to Avodah Zarah. And then it introduces the idea that you are children to Hashem. Banim atem la'Adonai Eloheichem, and you are holy, a holy people. And as a holy people, the focus then comes on eating. And you avoid this, and avoid that, and avoid this. And these are the kind of birds you can eat. And the last pasuk in that whole section reiterates the idea that you're holy. It says, Lo tochal kol nevela, you may not eat a nevela. La ger asher b'sharecha tinenu v'achala mochol nochri, you can give it to the ger or sell it to the goy. Ki am kadosh ata l'adonai v'acha, you're a holy people to Hashem. Lo tvashal gdei b'chal evimo. That's how that piece ends. Okay? When we get to the end of the parsha, we have a reiteration of the shalosh regalim with the focal point of aliyah l'regel, with the penultimate pasuk, which is near the bottom of the page, which reads, V'samachta b'chagecha atav v'incha v'itech v'dacha v'amatech v'alvi v'agera atom v'amana asher b'sharecha. We're going to look at that, but the penultimate pasuk, which is the last one on the page, is, Shalosh pamim ha'shana yira'a chol z'chuchat p'nei adonai v'recha makom ha'shivchar, b'chag ha'matzot v'chag ha'shavot v'chag ha'sukot, v'lo yira'a p'nei adonai v'ekam. Which, if you think about it, is quite a culmination. The idea that you and your whole family are going to come up and be seen by God, have this encounter with God on special times. And the question is, how do we get there? How do you get to that point where you have this special place and these special times and a special encounter? And so if you look at the bulk of the page, both in Hebrew and in English, which is the stitch between Am Kadosh Ata and this, I think that we'll discover what it's really about, meaning, what are the stages that need to be taken in order to get there? And what you have in front of you here is essentially six parashot. You have the first parasha, Aser Taser, we'll just scope them out first. The second one is Mikseh Shalosh Shanim. The third is Miketz Sheva Shanim. Then Ki Yevcha Evyon. And Ki Macher Lecha Achicha Ivri. And Kol HaBachor. Those six are, and there's nothing magical about the number six, just pointing out that those six parashot are the stitch, the connector between Am Kadosh Ata, your sanctification by virtue of abstaining from certain foods, and all the way to the Shalosh Regalim, which the crescendo of which is Shalosh Pamim Bashana. So let's see what the steps are. Yeah, Jason.
Where does kosher fit into the tent?
So it really doesn't. And that's why I'm not a fan of the idea that the ten really subsume everything. But what the context here, and I think that this actually argues in favor of the thesis I'm going to present, the context here is that for you to be someone who can appear at that special place, and that special place, again, is an expansion of Lo Tisa. Because remember, the Torah in the Aserta Dibrot, all it says, Lo Tisa Shem Adonai L'Achal HaShav. You can't use God's name in vain. Whatever that means. Bracha L'Batala Shvuat Shav. Right? You cannot use God's name in vain. Which means the way you respect God is by avoidance. Where Parshat Re'eh then expands it, it's not just avoidance, it's also there's a place where God makes his name to rest, and that's the place you should revere and the place you should come to, and that should be your focal point of worship, etc. So that it is an expansion on it by giving us the assay, the active way of celebrating that. It seems to be, I think, that what the Torah is saying is, good, now you want to be somebody who comes there, you got to be kadosh. And the way to be kadosh is first and foremost in your own abstaining within your own life of things that you're supposed to abstain from. So the laws of machalot asurot, the prohibited foods, seem to fit within that scope. So let's take a look at what these six parashot are about and notice with the different colors and highlighting that there's different themes that keep popping up here and weaving their way through until the crescendo at the end. So the first one is Aser ta aser kol tvuat zarecha itzei asadesh shana shana. And this, if you think about it, is a little surprising. You should take all of your fruit and your produce and tithe it. Now, what would the next thing you would expect? Tithe it and do what?
Give it to somebody.
Give it to somebody who's not, doesn't have, somebody who's more deserving, somebody who's needy, somebody else. Instead, it's not that. V'achalta lifnei Adonai Elohecha. You eat it before God. Which means, suddenly, now that you have demonstrated that you're sanctified by abstaining from those kind of foods, now you can bring a tenth of your own produce and celebrate by eating it in front of God. Where's that? B'makom asher yivchar l'shaken shmo sham. The place that God selects to put his name, and then it lists all the things that you should eat there. And then it gives us the interesting stipulation. If the place is too far away and you can't schlep all your stuff, then what do you do? V'natata b'kasef. Then you take it and put it on coins. In other words, you take the value of the grapes or the wheat or whatever it is, transfer it to coins, bring the coins up to the place that God chooses. And again, in the last line, v'natata ha'kasef b'chol asher tavea nafshecha. Put it, whatever you want to eat, party. All right? So this is very odd. The Torah is saying, be sanctified, abstain, and now take a tenth of your stuff and party. And if you can't party with the food, transfer it to money, bring the money up, and use that money to buy party food, stuff you really like. Babakar, batson, vayayinu, ashechar, right? Meat, wine, essentially. Chol asher tishchal nafshecha, anything you want, v'chalt asham lifnei Adonai Elohecha, you eat in front of God, v'samachta ata uveitacha. And that phrase, I think, is key here. Because who are you going to elate with? You're not going alone. You bring your household up. So now what you've done is you're personally sanctified. Now you bring your household up to the place that God chooses. And at that point, you celebrate in front of God with them. And here comes the very famous anthem in Devarim, which is, don't abandon the poor. You're celebrating, do not, and this is what we expected before with tithing. Don't abandon the poor. Make sure to include the poor. The example here is the Levi, because the Levi doesn't have land. Here, you're celebrating your produce. He doesn't have produce. So don't abandon him, right? And we don't yet know what that means. We have to look elsewhere in the Torah, but it means there's other masrot. There's a maser rishon we give to him. So we have to include him. Good. That theme continues in the next parasha. But the next parasha introduces something that we didn't yet hear. Up until now, we've been talking about abstaining and becoming sanctified. And then, when you have produce, whenever that is, you have a good year this year, twice a year you have good produce, whatever it is. Maybe you have alternating fields or overlapping fields. Could be. You do maaser whenever you do it. If you live near Yerushalayim, you might go up to Yerushalayim once a month and eat your maaser. Right? That's up to you. Suddenly, we hear that there's a calendar. And the first calendar item we hear is a three-year calendar. Miktzei shalosh shanim. Which halachically translates into 3 years into the Shemitah cycle, and then another 3 years into the Shemitah cycle, which means year three and year six. Totsiat kol ma'aser tvuatcha b'shanah v'nachta v'sharacha. Take all your ma'aser out and put it in your gates. Now, this is now not going to the special place. But what are you doing with it? And this is answering the question we raised before. How do you take care of the Levi? The answer is, every 3 years, which means we're putting some sort of a time frame, you can't go 3 years without doing this, you take all your masrot out and put them out there for the Levi. Who else? The stranger, the orphan, the widow, in other words, the disenfranchised. And you make sure that they eat there. You don't make them go up to the place. And this halachically translates into the following. We have a 7-year cycle of agriculture. Year 7 is off the table because nobody owns anything. So how does it work? The first 2 years, you give Maaser Rishon to the Levi, and Maaser Sheni, you go and party with. The third year, you give Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. You give to the poor. No Maaser Sheni. Right? Do the same thing, 4, 5, and then 6. So you have this 3-year cycle within the 7-year cycle. 3 and 3, and then 7. And the 3-year cycle ensures that the poor are going to get taken care of at least once every 3 years with this huge gift, right? And then hopefully, you know, there's all sorts of other matanot, peyah, like a chikha, etc., along the way, along with tzedakah. Right?
How does the Shemitah year work?
In Shemitah, nobody owns anything. No, everybody can go in and eat.
Year 3, you do it. Year 6, you do it.
And then 7, everybody goes in your field and eats. It's wide open. You eat, they eat. It's public property. Okay. Now, what's next? We're not done. And notice, what I did with the green is to mark time. Because time becomes suddenly a significant piece. And remember, we're shifting from Lo Tisa to Zachort Yom HaShabbat, which is about time. Miketz Sheva Shanim Taseh Shemitah. All right, so at the end of every 7 years, you make a Shemitah. What's the Shemitah? The Shemitah here is not about the land. Shemitah, hold on a second. Shemitah here is about what? Shemitah here is about, v'zed var Shemitah, shamot kol bal mashay ado asher yasheh b'rehu. Anybody who is coming with a claim of a debt to anybody has to release it. Right? Lo yigoset rehu v'et achiv, he may not dun his fellow or his brother. He He's declared a Shemitah. All debts are off. Right? And he's releasing all loans. Now, why would this rule come in? At the end of Shemitah, release all loans. Well, remember, what kind of society do we have? What's the economy of it? It's an agronomic society. Which means, who borrowed the money from us? Some farmer. Right? What year does the farmer make the least? Shemitah, right? And so since the farmer made the least amount of money in Shemitah, now he can't afford to pay us back, we have to release the loan. Interesting discussion among the Rishonim whether or not, essentially, he ethically should pay the loan back later on, or whether it should not be paid back. Shemitah of the Urim, right? Because really, he's getting kind of an extension, as it were. Because this is the year that you, as a farmer, you're not bringing any profits in, so you can't pay back.
Well, also, that's why people wouldn't loan in the 60s.
No, then we'll get into that.
But I have a question before you go.
Yeah.
Is it possible that the end of 3 years is not every 3 years? Because every 21 years, Shemitah and the 3 years would be the same year.
No, every 3 years means 3, then 6. Then again, 10 and 13. It's going to be...
But you skip the Shemitah.
Of course, yeah. 3 and 6, and then 3 and 6.
Okay.
So it's not every 3 years. It's going to be 3 years, 6 years, and then you start again, 3 and 6, and the new Shemitah cycle. Right. So next problem, and notice that the flow of these things is internal. It's internal. But notice what the different components that are coming together are. A concern for the underprivileged, a desire to come and celebrate before God, a calendar consideration, and family. All these things are coming together. So in the first parasha, we heard about aser ta aser, no calendar consideration, eating before God and bringing your family to do it. And then at the end, a warning, make it take care of the Levi. The second one is focus on how to take care of the Levi and the other poor, and that's on a calendar. What's the third consideration? Is continuing with that theme of how to take care within a calendar system of the poor, and what you're not allowed to do, come after the guy, right? Now, that leads to number four. Number four is Ki Yevacha Evyon Me'achad Achecha Be'achad Sharecha. Now this is off the calendar. Because the reality is that we're going to find three different components coming together along with a fourth that are going to bring us to the crescendo. The components that we've seen played around with so far are calendar, concern for the disenfranchised, and a desire to celebrate before God. And the fourth is household. All right, so let's see how it comes together. You have the poor among you. Again, not in the place God chooses. In your city, there is somebody poor. Do not harden your heart. And don't hold your hand back from your poor brother. Rather, open up your hand to him. Lend him money, as much as he needs. And this is what Jason is mentioning, the connection to the previous past. Make sure you don't have a low thought, which is, Shemitah is coming. Why should I lend money? If I lend money, I'm not going to get it back. He's going to call out to God, and you will be the sinner. He's going to call out to God, I have needs, nobody's lending me money. In the meantime, I got the money, but I don't want to lend it because it's basically going to become a gift because he'll Shemitah will cancel it. You got to give him the money. And don't feel bad about it. No, don't feel bad means one of two things. Don't feel bad might mean I'm doing the right thing, so it's a sacrifice. Or don't feel bad because it won't be a sacrifice. We'll see. When you do this, God's going to bless all of your stuff, which means it's a good investment. In other words, on the short term, it looks like you're going to lose the money. But ultimately, your produce and everything else is in God's hands. God will bless you. It's an interesting statement. There will always be poor people. It's always going to exist. Meaning, you're not going to get to a point where you can erase poverty and therefore these things don't matter anymore. So, like, why work on it now? Therefore, I tell you, you have to open up your hand to the most destitute and those who are low. Continue on. Because the guy we're talking about is so low. Now, who is this guy? This guy is the person who, after the third and sixth year, you brought out Maaser to. Right? Wasn't good enough for him. He borrowed money. You canceled the debt and allowed him to have the money. And you were afraid that you were going to lose the payment, and therefore you didn't want to lend him the money. The answer is you got to give him. Right? The mitzvah tzedakah is anchored in this. Now, the guy has fallen on even harder times. Now, maybe it's a continuation. Maybe it's the same guy getting worse and worse. Or maybe it's just different pieces in the same time period. But remember our calendar. We're off the calendar. We're off the calendar. Back on the calendar. So now a Hebrew has sold himself or herself to you. A couple of years ago, I suggested, based on Rav Yoel's shir, that Ivriya here is really his wife. Not an independent woman, but his wife. He works for you for 6 years. You got to let him out on the seventh year. And by the way, the Chazal suggest maybe this means Shemitah, which means if you bought him in the year six, you have him for 1 year. The answer is no. It's a separate six-year cycle, but it's kind of like what you were asking, Jason, before. Right? So you may keep him for 6 years, and then on the seventh year, you must send him out. Chofshi means he doesn't have to pay you anything. So you bought him you paid him $50,000. You give him $50,000 in his bank, and you work for me for 6 years. $60,000 for 6 years, right? Turns out that you had a bad year, and there wasn't much work to do, and then it rained a lot, and then he got sick, etc. So in the end, you got $30,000 worth of work. You can't say to him, okay, but you owe me 30. He goes free. You can't charge him anything, right? And then, and when you send him out, you can't send him out empty-handed. You got to give him something to get started. Hanek taniklo, you have to give him a gift. From the flock, from the wheat, from the grain, from the wine press. Give him based on how Hashem has blessed you. Think about this. He's been in your house. If you've done well, it's part of his presence. You should pay him off. And this takes you back to where it all starts. Don't forget, you were an Eved. And remember, by the way, we got a big tip when we left. All the gold and silver right? But now, here's something really weird. Here's this guy who is so destitute. Every 3 years wasn't enough for him. The 7 years wasn't enough for him. He sold himself into slavery. And now that he's sold into slavery and it's time to go free, I have to give him a tip. However, there's more to it. He doesn't want to leave. Why doesn't he not want to leave? Ki ahevcha v'et beitecha. He loves you and
your
household. What do you mean he loves your household? Nice walls?
Good meals.
Good Jackson Pollock? Good meals? I think not. What does beitecha mean? Your family. He likes you and he likes your family.
Why can't it just be a roof over his head?
Because that's not what beitecha means in Tanakh.
Okay.
Right? It's a family. Right? Bayit, when it refers in structure, like in Pesach or Bayit Menugah, it means that. But Ishu Beito Ba'u doesn't mean a man brought his household, his physical house, down to Mitzrayim. It means his family. Right? Ha'evcha ve'et beitecha. He loves you, and he don't love a building. He loves your family. Right? Ki tov lo imachen. Why does he love your family? Because your family treats him well. So he wants to stay. So what do? Lakachta tamartzeh, natanavo zomadelet. You punch his ear. We know the piece. Va'alacha eved olam. So you include both the husband and wife in this. And if you do send him out, don't feel bad. He worked double for you. Double for you. Big machloka rishonim, what that means. Does it mean because since you're allowed to give him a shifcha kranit, and therefore he's also ki'ilu working at night, right? Or whether it means that the standard, based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu, is a three-year servitude and he has six-year servitude. Whatever it is, he worked double for you. Again, God will bless you. Now notice, along the way, all of these legislations that are about you treating the poor and taking care of the poor, not holding your hand back from lending to them, giving him the tip, letting him stay with you, whatever it might be, are all generators of God was going to bless you. Because every one of these things is a place where you might say, it's costing me. It's costing me. It's not good. The answer is no. This is how you're going to get blessed. God is going to take care of you and give you more produce, etc. All right? And that brings us to this very bizarre little piece that is the last of the gap between Am Kadosh and Shalosh Pamim Bashana. Am Kadosh is I'm an individual guy living where I'm living, and I'm sanctified to God because I avoid eating certain things. No cheeseburgers. Very nice. All the way to going up and encountering God at that special place three times a year. How did I get there? So the last stitch here is the following. Any males born as the first in the flock or the herd, you sanctify to God. You don't work it. And this, of course, is anchored back in Yetziat Mitzrayim. Where God sanctified the Bechorot. Lifnei Adonai Levecha Tochlenu. Where do you eat it? You eat it in front of God. Meaning it's a what? It's a korban. And by the way, who's you? Who's eating it? We find out in other places in Korach that it's the Kohanim. You give it to the Kohanim. Shana v'shana. When do you eat it? Suddenly we're getting a calendar in here. So now we started out...
Year?
What?
How do you have this every year?
Because every year people have newborn... flock, and let's say I have flocks, they're all giving birth in August or September.
Okay.
So I got six different mothers who gave birth for the first time, so I bring six bechorot,
right.
You know, let's say three of them are male, give me three to the Kohen. The Kohen now has, like every year in September, so I have a bunch of bechorot, brings them to Yerushalayim, so brings them as a korban, and eats them, shana v'shana, b'makom asher yivchar Adonai, where the place that God chooses, and who eats? Ata uveitacha. You and your family. Suddenly it's starting to come together. Now, by the way, how did this whole thing start? I'm sanctified because I abstain. And now, because I abstain, what's happening? God is blessing me and giving me food to eat right there in front of God. Right in that place. By walking away and by abstaining, I've created the possibility of actually engaging. Let's say the animal has a mum. Don't bring it as a korban. So what do you do with it? You might think, oh, you got to destroy it. Eat it in your own city. You can eat it with people who are tameh, because it's not a korban anymore. Just like a deer. Etc. And that's the end of that parasha.
Why does it repeat
right?
the dam?
What?
You already know that.
Yeah, good question. Not for him, but good question. But this is the end of the stitch. So what's been going on here? Because the very next piece is Shamor et Chodesh Ha'aviv. Careful with the calendar. You're going to bring a Pesach. You're going to come to the place God shows you. And then it's all focus on Aliyah L'Regel and the celebration of Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot that culminates in the following passage. V'samachta b'chagecha. Celebrate with your festive offering. Ata, who else? Uvincha uvitecha, who else? V'avdecha v'amatecha. Who are the Eved and Amah? We mentioned them already. That's the people who sold themselves to you and like your household. Right? V'halevi v'hager v'yatom v'almanah. The famous foursome of destitution in Dvarim. Right? Asher b'sharecha. In your towns. Right? So you want to celebrate with them. Shivatim im tachogu adonaylecha makom ha-shev char adonai. Where are you going to celebrate? In the place that God chose. Boom, we could sing the song. And now watch it all come together. Shalosh pamim bashana. Now, by the way, we've gone from, notice this, from every 3 years, to every 7 years, to suddenly every year, to now, three times a year. It's gotten more intense.
Just a second.
Who has to show up? You, and you bring all your kids. Why? Why do they have to come? You come. After all, you didn't tell your kids that they have to give tzedakah. You didn't tell your kids that they have to give a tip to the Eved. You didn't tell your kids that they can't hold their hand fast. That's you. Why bring your kids? And where are they going? At Pnei Adonai Dvarecha, to face God, b'makom asher yivchar, the place He chooses, b'chag ha-matzot, b'chag ha-shavuot, b'chag ha-sukkot. Now it's not just any three times, it's a very set time, which means everybody's going to be there. Think about that. If I say go three times a year, so I'm going to go in January and June and September, right? No, you go at the same three times as everybody else, which means there's going to be a massive humanity coming. And who's coming? Households are coming. Not individuals, households are coming. And they're coming to do what? To eat korbanot in front of God in the place God chooses at set times of the year. Suddenly, it's all coalescing. We've got all three sanctities. Sanctity of person, of a nation. Sanctity of place, the place God chooses. And sanctity of time. And by the way, the time and the place have the same name, which is Moed. Ohel Moed and Moadei Kodesh. An appointed time, an appointed place where you meet with God. And now, the nation comes, and all of that comes together. But it comes together with a critical piece, which is you come with your kids. Why is that so critical? Because all of this is premised on one thing that is a subtext throughout. You are always educating your kids, not through what you tell them, but through what you do. And what are you educating your kids to do? That every time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses us with plenty, our immediate reaction is to look for the people who don't have and to help them and to include them. So we're sanctified because we abstain. Very nice, Shkoyach, you're a holy person. Now what are you going to do with it? So now that I'm holy, I get to go up to Yerushalayim and eat Maaser. Good. But don't forget, there's people who don't have Maaser. Give it to them. Every 3 years you got Maaser, give it to them. Every 7 years, relax your loans. There's somebody out there who needs help. You got to help them. And don't say, well, it's almost Shemitah, I can't lend it to them. Somebody so destitute they sell themselves to you, you make sure that they don't want to leave because they love your household. Why do they love your household? Because your family knows how to treat them nicely. Because that's how you trained them. You've trained your family to treat them nicely so much that they don't want to leave. They're willing to get their ear punched and to give up their freedom for another X amount of years till Yovel because they like your family. Ki tov loimach, because they have a good life with you, because you treat them well. When that all happens, then you can get to this point where you can celebrate and celebrate with your family, celebrate with your slaves, your servants, and make sure to include all of those who are disenfranchised in the community in the celebration. And you do it at set times of the year because then everybody's there. And that's the best way to teach your kids. You teach your kids by example, and you teach your kids by having them participate in this mass aliyah regel, where they see all of these people celebrating together, and it's internalized for them. This is how we connect with God. We don't connect to God just through being ascetic and through abstaining. We connect to God by taking all the blessings God gave us and sharing them with those who are more needy. And then we're really able to come. I think that's the stitch that brings us from Am Kadoshata all the way to us going three times a year to see Hashem and Hashem blessing us.